May 11th, 2019. As always, pleased to have in studio my good friend Steve Goldman. How are we doing, Steve-O?
Very well, Anthony, but I think we're not going to get used to this, unfortunately.
Nope.
It's unfortunate, but that's the way it happens.
Calling for 80% on Sunday, 80% on Monday. It does taper off of touch Tuesday and Wednesday, and then a little bit on 50% a chance of rain on opening day Thursday.
Well, maybe the golf gods will finally give Bethpage a break, but given recent history, it doesn't seem very likely.
Nope. What do you got in the news and notes this week?
So, of course, the AT&T Byron Nelson is at Trinity Forest in Dallas, and of course, you know, Sung Kang has a 4-stroke lead after 36 holes, but what catches my eye is the Texas contingent that's down there. Of course, Dallas loves their Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch of Texas Longhorns in the field, namely Bo Hostler, Doug Gim, and Scotty Scheffler. They were all teammates back in 2016, I believe. Bo Hostler is actually a member of Trinity Forest. He's tied for sixth right now. He's 7 back. Doug Gim is 9 back, and Scotty Scheffler is 10 back. And Gim and Scheffler are living on the Wed.com tour this year, and looks like Scheffler is in good position. He's number 3 right now on the Wed.com standings. Gim still has a little bit of work to do. If he wants to get his card for next year, he's 36th right now. And then, of course, the 2012 Texas Longhorns featuring one Jordan Spieth, Dylan Fratelli, and Cody Gribble. Spieth also tied with Doug Gim. He's nine back as well. Fratelli just got in on the number. 83 people made the cut, by the way, so I'm guessing the dreaded MDF will be rearing its ugly head yep. today, which will be very interesting. And unfortunately, Cody Gribble will not see the weekend. He got cut. But it was interesting about that 2012 Texas National Championship team. Fratelli actually sunk the clinching putt. It was his match. That won. He had to win one up against Alabama. And, of course, Texas versus Alabama 2012. You had two freshman phenom, one named Jordan Spieth that we mentioned, and he faced off against Justin Thomas.
And I think they might be friends.
I think I've seen that picture once or twice recently about
exactly.
Spieth and Thomas. So, yeah, so that was interesting. So, speaking of young phenoms, we switch over to a local USGA qualifier. This is actually for the U.S. Open, which I don't know if you heard is in Pebble Beach this year.
Yes.
So that's going to be very exciting.
I'm sure no one will use the word iconic
yes.
when describing Pebble Beach.
Or majestic. Right. So on Wednesday, they had a local qualifier. Fire out in California, Southern California to be exact, and 16-year-old, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, Robert Kielch, 16 years old. He shoots 61 in his local qualifier, beats the field by 6, and sets the course record, which is, I mean, amazing in and of itself. The fact that he's a sophomore in high school is even more remarkable.
Crazy.
So he's obviously moving on to his sectional qualifier, which is on June 3rd, as they like to call golf's longest day.
Yep.
And the sectional qualifier is in Newport Beach. And where's Robert Kielch from?
Newport Beach.
So it'll be very interesting. And, of course, to be one step away from qualifying for Pebble Beach. So definitely one to look out for.
16 years old. Incredible.
And speaking of qualifiers, so we talked last week about friend of the show, Kelly Brook, who qualified for the U.S. Senior Women's Open, which unfortunately coincides this week with the PGA Championship. So we wish Kelly the best of luck down at Pine Needles. And one other player of note that qualified in the same grouping was C.J. Reeves. And this week they had the Met Women's Professional Championship up at Burning Tree Country Club in Greenwich, Connecticut. And unfortunately, CJ didn't win, but she finished second, 4 shots back. And she's, as I said, one of the qualifiers for the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And her husband, John Reeves, was in the men's field. They also had the PGA Head Professional Championship. John finished in 49th up at Burning Tree. And, of course, very famous Met names topping the leaderboard once again. Our friend of the show, Matt Dobbins, he finished in 6th place. Qualifier for the PGA Championship, Danny Ballon, he finished in 4th. And, of course, it was dominated by two players at the top. Rob LeBritz and Jason Karen. Jason Karen beating Rob LeBritz by one shot, and as they distance the field, Karen 10 under, LeBritz 9 under.
Yep.
You know, we should probably have Jason Karen on the show. He's playing pretty well.
I'm going to have, hopefully he's listening, he'll call in.
He might make a good guest representing the Met area. And, of course, Rob LeBritz qualifying for the PGA Championship. And as we were looking up this morning, Rob LeBritz is actually the first tee time, 6:45. He's playing with Bo Hostler, previously mentioned, in J.J. Spawn.
Yep.
And, of course, Jason Karen, he'll be teeing off at 7:07 on Thursday. He's paired with Ben Ahn and Andrew Putnam. So it's going to be quite exciting starting Thursday.
Absolutely. And just to tie something up from last week,
yes,
we mentioned Joel Dahman and Max Homa, and Joel Dahman was involved in that incident where he accused a player of, you know, cheating, and there was that big dust up, whatever. And do you remember who the player was?
Actually, I don't.
It was Sun Kang.
Oh.
The current 54-hole leader. Uh-huh. So, interesting.
Wow,
interesting.
Really does tie everything together.
All right. We're going to...
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit Pete'sGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, he's Steve, and on the line is the head PGA professional at Mill River Club, Jason Karen, who not only just qualified for the PGA Championship, but is coming off his win at the 2019 Polo Golf Metropolitan PGA Head Professional Championship. Jason, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. I let's start with the coming off a win. I mean, I don't think you could be... What's the excitement level at this point heading into PGA Championship week?
Yeah, no, it's been, some pretty good play, and it's, a good time to be playing well, with the PGA here and qualifying for that. And it's just been, it's almost scary to think about, but... it's a couple days away, and we'll be teeing off in the PGA, and it's gonna be a lot of excitement, a little bit of nerves, I'm sure, but mostly excitement.
You're a PGA professional, or you're a PGA professional. Talk about trending and peaking. Clearly, you are. What is it about your game that you love coming into this week, especially at Bethpage Black?
Yeah, I've been really putting the ball extremely well. I'm really hitting my putts that are starting on my line, which is a big thing. Daryl Kessner, who's been helping me, he's at the head pro at Deepdale, and he's just been, we've been really trying to get the ball started online, seeing my lines a little better, and it's been working. So the ball's going in the hole. My pace on my putts have been phenomenal, so I'm not really having a lot of cleanup after a putt. So it's been... That's been the highlight, and then the other part is keeping the ball in play. I'm not really, hitting the shots offline too often, and rewarding myself with some nice wedge play. So it's been good.
Jason, we've been talking a lot in the last few weeks about how talented the Met area golfers are, and of course, as evidenced at the PGA Professional Championship, the five Met, not only did five professionals from the Met area qualified, but they finished in the top 10 in the championship. And then, like, as we said, then you come back just Monday and Tuesday and beat a very talented field up in Greenwich, Connecticut. So, I mean, obviously confidence is an understatement, but what does it say about the competition that you've been playing against in the last couple of weeks and how that hopefully is going to help you propel this week?
Yeah, that's, I tell everybody, my friends and family and stuff, that we have definitely the best players in the United States when it comes to a section of the PGA members. I mean, you can go in any field and any guy can almost win every week, so it's pretty tough. And we play for some great prize money, and we play in great golf courses, so, I mean, it's really the mecca for PGA professionals to be here and to play. And, you know, just like you said, I mean, it's I was speaking to one of the guys that's head of the PGA, actually, down in South Carolina, and he said, you know, we're going to monitor who qualifies for this event over the next couple of years to see if we need to move it to, like, maybe an October date. And needless to say, we have 5 out of the 20 from the Met section. So it just shows you, you know, we might be shoveling snow all winter, but there's still a lot of game up here. So these guys know how to get it done. And, you know, I think it shows great respect for our section.
Our guest is head professional for Mill River Club, Jason Caron from Oyster Bay. And, of course, as we're talking about the PGA Championship, as he qualified at the professional. So not only do you qualify for the PGA Championship, but the PGA Championship is being held on the iconic Met Area golf course. So you have to think that, you know, just qualifying for the PGA Championship itself, now you're playing on a golf course that you are eminently familiar with. So, look, I mean, obviously the field is going to be a lot stronger and there's going to be a lot of competition. But how much confidence do you have going into this week knowing the golf course the way you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little edge, I think. But I went over there yesterday and played a couple holes. And, you know, the fairways are narrow, as we know. The greens are just unbelievably flawless. I can't believe how good they are. And they're not soft, which is amazing, the weather we've had. But the golf course is in great shape. But the rough still, even though it's not cut or not grown up super high, the ball still sinks down. And I think that's what protects Beth Page Black from anywhere else, is that the golf ball, when you hit in the rough here, just doesn't seem to sit up like it can at your home course.
Well, we did kind of speculate, and I'm glad you're saying that, because we were concerned with all the rain that the golf course has been taking. Then obviously it drains very well, but the one thing that we did say was, one thing that we can be sure about is the rough is going to be quite challenging, and if you're not in the fairway, you're going to have a long day.
Exactly. So the rough is juicy, but if you hit it in play, and, you know, again, it's about short game. If you really can chip and putt your way around that place, I think you can definitely shoot a decent score. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, yes, you're playing against the top 100 golfers are here in the world, which is amazing. And then you got 20 of us club pros, and then there's 36 other guys. So it's like amazing to think of it that way. But no, I think you just have to go play your game. And like you said, we know the golf course. We get to play it every year in the New York State Open, which is fantastic. So we have to take, you know, the positives and just go out there and try our best.
You mentioned the top 100. I'm not sure you're aware of it. Never happened before ever to have every player in the top 100 to play in a major event, which is fantastic for the venue and for the occasion. I'm curious, you played yesterday, and you will have access, unprecedented access, to equipment trucks and all the bells and whistles that comes with playing in a major. Do you foresee going, taking a visit to the equipment trucks and making any adjustments or adding something, subtracting something that will fit the course conditions?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Yeah, that's the nice thing about, you know, playing out on PGA Tour or, you know, web.com. You do get access to the vendors. And, yeah, I mean, Titleist, I'll definitely work with Titleist, with, you know, my driver, with launch and spin, make sure those numbers are good for, you know, the weather. It looks like next week, Thursday to Sunday, is going to be actually okay. So we'll just kind of monitor, you know, the driver and make sure it's tweaked correctly. You know, wedges is something that, you know, we don't get regularly, so it's going to be nice if we'll get a couple sets of wedges and then maybe a backup putter here and there. But for the most part, my setup and my clubs will stay the same. I don't think I'll be changing any lofts on my wedges or add a, you know, a 7-wood or something like that. I think my hybrids work well, so it should be fine that in that aspect.
Not to get too specific, but what's the setup do you have in your bag that you think that works well for you? How do you set up your bag? What kind of launch conditions are you looking for in your driver and things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, my driver, I don't like to launch the ball too high. I'm not a guy that likes to see a ball get super high in the air. So I'm probably more of like a 10-degree launch. And my spin numbers should be right around 2,500. So the ball, I wanted a piercing flight. And, you know, right now I tweaked my driver actually just when I got home from the tournament in South Carolina with a with a little bit of a lighter shaft, and I knocked the loft up a little bit because in South Carolina the ball was a little low, I thought. So I tried it. I happened to play well the first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, but yesterday I kind of adjusted the driver again just to make sure I could see that flight that I like to see. And I feel like yesterday on the 18th hole, it kind of, as soon as I tweaked it, it was like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for right there. So hopefully everything will be good.
We're talking with head professional at the Mill River Club, Jason Caron. We're going to take a short break. More with Jason Caron after 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf course, the superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits, such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring three different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
You're listening to Mill River Club, Jason Caron. Jason,
just over the top, really. You know, I flew back on Thursday last week, and then on Saturday we had opening men's day, so it was fantastic. I mean, everybody came up to congratulate me, and then we're doing the announcements. They did it again. So, I mean, it's really been outpouring. So I think we're going to have a ton of people out there. It seems like everyone's told me that I have bumped into. They'll either see me Thursday or Friday. Some of them are going to come out to the practice round, so I think it's going to be great for Mill River. The membership has been so supportive. I can't thank them enough. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Jason, speaking of Mill River, how do you draw on the experiences that you have as a player into your professional career, especially when you are teaching and giving lessons, and this way you can actually draw on actual experience when you're helping your students?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, everyone, I would think almost every PGA professional could probably tell you the same thing, that when someone books a lesson, we'll get in the cart and drive right past the short game area and go right to the long game. And my philosophy is, okay, if we can get the ball forward, where can we get you better and lower your scores? I tell them, if you put me where your golf ball is 100 yards and in, I'll probably cut your strokes in half. And they'll look at me and they'll go, seriously? And I go, seriously. So I think that the miscommunication is, yeah, I got to hit it long, I got to hit it straight every time. Well, nobody does that.
Right.
But our short games are so much better than what they are that they don't get, like, I might not three-putt for a month. They'll three-putt five times in one round. So if we can cut back on, I think, the short game there and get them sharp there, that's where I kind of get involved with, helping my students or my members. And also I try to tell them, okay, if you're a low handicap, what can we do to get you even lower? Well, we got to work on the mental part of it. And what are you thinking in certain times in certain areas? So those are the things that I think I help them out the best. We have a great couple teachers here with Dan Spazzato and my wife, Liz Caron, who do a phenomenal job with everybody as well.
Well, speaking of, your wife is quite the player in her own right. How much collaboration do you and yourself, your wife and yourself, help each other out when dealing with teaching and the philosophy of teaching and dealing with how to be a better communicator?
Yeah, so Liz, I mean, she's played. First of all, I always say I'm the second best player, not the first.
That's the right.
Right. That tells you how good a player she is. And but she, you know, she's worked. She's been very fortunate that when she was younger, she was a phenom. She was, like, super, super, super good. But she was fortunate her parents let her get lessons from a bunch of different people, some of the top names in the country and as teachers. So she's got a lot, a big library, if you will, of the way she can teach and help her students. But, you know, when it comes to, we don't disagree, and we don't talk about teaching that much off, you know, not when we're not here at the club. But, you know, what I can tell you is that, you know, she gave me one tip last summer, and she just had me walking by, and she's like, look, your hands look like they're too far behind you. Get them out in front of you more, like they're more on your toe line. And I'm like, what do you mean? And sure enough, bang, next thing you know, I hit one golf shot. I'm not kidding you. And it made a different sound. And I'm like, wow, that's the sound it used to make when I was playing all the time back when I was younger. And, man, it's been working. So hopefully we'll continue that.
So the moral of the story, listen to your wife.
Always.
Your wife.
So Liz, I would imagine, is heavily involved, obviously, with the teaching. And I would think probably with the trying to get the juniors involved. So because, being at a country club, obviously, doesn't necessarily give you as much opportunity for, let's say, clinics or things. So how are we trying to get the young people involved and get them to love the game as much as you do?
Yeah. So Liz has she's come up with some great ideas for the kids. She's been doing like these teas for tots, she calls it. And she gets the real little ones involved, like the 4 or 5 year olds. Then she does like the 6, 7, 8 year olds clinics on Saturday. The grandparents come out, and it's a half hour, and the grandparents stay and watch. And she does a great job with that. And Dan, took the initiative this year to do a junior program, like a junior league. And we were skeptical because we didn't know exactly how many kids would come. And sure enough, we got like I think over 20. That are involved, and we do matches with Huntington Crescent and Huntington Country Club. So it's been a great fit. The juniors are excited. The families are excited. They're coming in, they're buying clubs for the kids. And anything we put out there for summer camp, we fill it up quickly. So it's been great.
You know, the question that I always wonder, especially as accomplished as you and Liz both are, is how do you balance being a head professional at a golf course and yet still participating in all of these championships and playing well?
Yeah, you kind of have to go off, some past experiences and try to keep it going for the next week because we don't get to play that often. I try to play with the members if I can once a week. That's my goal. Spending a few minutes on the driving range, maybe a couple days a week, you might, swing by and hit a few balls, but that's about it. And then in the competition part, you just kind of have to not get too high expectations. I think that's the key, that we don't do this for a living anymore. We do this to really just to have fun and compete and get those juices flowing, if you will. But you can't have the highest expectations that you're going to play great every day. And I think that's the key to playing well when it is going well.
I would say expectations is one of the leading causes to a bad day on the golf course. I think a lot of amateurs and pros, high handicaps and plus handicaps alike, all fall victim at some point or another to the idea of managing expectations and not doing it proportionally to what's going on with their game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, when I was playing back in my early days, I remember one of my guys that I was working with as a teacher, he said to me, he said, one of the members said, what do you teach different between, a guy like me and a tour player? And he goes, nothing. But what I can tell you is that when you leave here after I give you a lesson, you're thinking about, okay, I got to take the kids here. I got to do my job there. I got to mow the lawn. And a tour player eats it, sleeps it, drinks it every single day.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. And in the next week, when you call me back as the member, you'll say, I forgot what we talked about last week. That's really the big difference. And I think that, I still have that in me where I can still draw that because I played for so long. So I think maybe that's the advantage I may have over some of the other guys that I can retain some of that information, and when I work on the range for a few minutes, I can retain it again the next day and the next day and the next day.
Absolutely. I mean, you have that reservoir of playing experience that helps you. And just like your members have that reservoir of experience in the career that they have, which makes them good at whatever profession they do. I want to circle back to the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black starting next week. Just one last thing. It's obviously a special opportunity. I'm just curious if you called anybody to play a practice round with, or if anybody's called you, or what your plans are for the practice rounds.
Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate that when I played in my day, I was friends with a couple of guys. So Jimmy Walker, who actually has won the PGA, we texted the other day. So we're trying to figure out schedule-wise with him. And then Lucas Glover is another buddy of mine who's actually won Bethpage.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then there's a bunch of I looked at the list. I mean, a lot of the guys, I don't have their numbers anymore, but once I see them, we'll probably hook up and hopefully get a, you know, game with some of these guys.
Our guest is Jason Caron, head pro Mill River Club. You know, I think you were talking before about expectations. I think I'm the outlier because I have no expectations when I tee it up. So anything I do is a positive. So let's finish with this. What are your expectations for this week?
Yeah, you know, I think my expectations is to go out there and do what I do best, which is, you know, grind it out, have fun. I don't want to take this again like it's my job. So I just want to go have a good time. Enjoy the moment, and then if I do my job correctly, my chipping and putting will take me through and shoot some good scores. So my expectations are, hey, I'm going to go have fun, play well, and hopefully I'll be there for 4 days and not just for two.
Hey, you get to play two rounds on the black. There's not much better than that, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, it couldn't draw this up any better. To be able to play in my first PGA Championship and to have it at Bethpage where, you know, I'm going to have my wife and my kids and then members here. I mean, you can't draw this up any better.
And don't forget the crew from On Par will be there to support you as well. So that's all you need.
Thanks, guys.
Head professional at Mill River Club, Jason Caron, who is...
That was a mouthful.
You know, 9 years on the professional tour.
Sure.
It's not exactly... you know,
he's not green,
but listen, I'm sure about having the opportunity.
Well, because this is the one tournament year that amateurs can't play. So, you know, we talk a lot about the U.S. Open and how it's great because amateurs can qualify. The Masters has amateurs qualifying. I mean, this is, in a sense, the sort of the amateur level, if you will, of a PGA event. I mean, granted, they are professionals, but like you said, they're not playing professionals. They're teaching professionals. And, you know, like you said, to surround themselves with literally the 100 best players in the world at the same time at one of the greatest golf courses in the country, if not in the world. I mean, like we've been saying all along, the only thing that's going to screw this up is the weather.
Yeah.
And if the weather holds up, this is going to be a fantastic week and can't wait. And, of course, again, another shout out to our friend Kelly Brook, who's participating in the U.S. Senior Women's Open, the second U.S. Senior Women's Open. That's at Pine Needles also this weekend. So we can't give 100% of our attention to the PGA Championship, but we're still thinking about our Met Area golfers competing in that also.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's it for this week. Good luck.
Program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views
This is WGBB AM 1240 and W240 DF FM 95.9 Freeport, New York.